King James, after all these weeks, word perfect. Well, if not, try, go over it, not tonight, but try and go over it, and then sometime let's see if we can get it word perfect. Tonight, look at verse 12, because I'm going to give the briefest review, and then speak on verse 13. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the only verse I want to bring to your attention. Listen to it again. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Think, when you come to the second part of this Lord's Prayer, when we come to man, see how needy, dependent, frail, and failing we present ourselves when we pray. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. So God is independent. He has no needs. But here we are, and with all our pride, when we go into the presence of God, we have to say, give us this day our daily bread. For the simple reason that if drought continues, if forest fires continue, and all the food is burned up, what can we do? Without food, we die. God is not dependent, such as man is. And so we cry to God, we are dependent, we are needy. Give us this day our daily bread. And that is inclusive of all the material needs of life. Now, the next is this. We are frail not only physically, but we are frail spiritually as well. For the simple reason that we say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are telling God that we spiritually are obligated to pay a debt, and we're not able to pay it. It's a good thing to look the world in the face and say, I owe nothing. There are some people that are continually done by debt collectors. If a man says, I owe nothing, no payments are due, it's a great relief. But here, we have to say to God, forgive us our debts, which means that we have failed as Christians. We are obligated to God, and He's the only one who can forgive us our debts. Remember this. I would think that if I sinned against you, I would just go and ask your forgiveness, and that would be the end of the matter. But if you sin against your fellow man, indeed, you are to go and ask his forgiveness. But at the same time, if he forgives you, you have to get forgiveness from God. And therefore we pray, when it comes to forgiveness, to God, forgive us our debts. But now notice, as we forgive our debtors. This is not sad. Here, I'm confessing that I have sinned. I am a debtor. And I'm confessing that my brothers in Christ also sin, and they are debtors. And this is Christ who is giving us a description of ourselves when he teaches us to pray. I am a debtor. My brother is a debtor. I have forgiven my brother who is indebted to me, and I want you to forgive my debt. How embarrassing, how shameful that we are finite, dependent creatures for the material needs of life and for the spiritual needs of life. All right, just that much to introduce the last petition. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See the connection. The fact that you're confessing your sin, forgive us our debts, it means that previously you have been led into temptation and you failed. Why? because you're asking forgiveness. Now, what is so embarrassing is this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You're saying that there is danger of happening again, the thing that happened to you in the last petition. I am indebted, O God, forgive that debt. And O God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. We are confessing again our tendency to sin, and for God to empower us and to ordain things in such a way that we do not sin again. But how humbly is this prayer as we confess it to God. Give us our daily bread. We are finite, dependent creatures. Forgive us our debt. We are failing creatures. And having failed once, God has told us that we're probably going to fail again tomorrow. And so we pray to Him, I don't want to fail tomorrow. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Now, I have to tell you a little bit about the meaning of the word temptation. There are two words, primarily when it comes to tempting or proving, and this one is the word peirasmos. That's the noun. And it can have a good meaning or a bad meaning. Both of the meanings of the word are brought together in the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the temptation of Job, both meanings are brought together. The word in itself simply means to put to the test. And Satan wants to put us to the test to show that we are evil and to bring out the evil. And God desires to put us to the test to show the good and that we can be victorious over evil. Do you see the difference? Do you think that when it says in Matthew 4 and in Mark and in Luke that our Savior was led into the Spirit to be tempted of the devil? This is the Spirit of God leading Him into temptation. You say, but it says, lead us not into temptation. And yet, here is the Spirit of God leading the Lord Jesus into temptation. Now, take a moment. Do you think that the Father or the Holy Spirit had any idea that they were letting Christ be tempted to show that He could sin, that He could fail? You say, no. But why do you think that Satan was tempting Christ? To show that He would fail. But the Father and the Spirit are letting Christ be tempted to show that He would not fail, but that He would be faithful, that He would be obedient even to death, according to all that's written in the Word of God. Now, that is the meaning of the word temptation. It simply means to put to the test for good or for ill. And Satan looks upon us, and I will tell you about this. Satan looks upon us, and he says, we are sinners, and there's no good thing in us, and we'll always sin and fail. And God says, you're wrong. When in Job 1 and 2, Satan has been looking at Job, a man that has been honoring God, obeying His word, and he goes and reports to God and talks about Job. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him on earth. That eschews evil, that fears God, that does good, there's nobody like him. And what Satan said was, tempt him, put him through these tests, and he will curse you to your face. Now, look, here again. Satan said that Job was serving God because of what God gave to him, what God did for him. And God said, that's wrong. That's a false accusation. And Satan said, let me put him to the test. And God said, put him to the test. Now, here is God allowing Satan to test Job. God to show that he is faithful, that he loves God, not for material reasons, but because of what God is. And Satan says he doesn't love you for any reason other than the material things that you bring in his life. And take those material things away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. And God said, he is in your hands. You may test him. Now think, when he was tested, why did God have him tested? To show that he was good. And why did Satan have him tested? To show that he was evil. But thank God, it showed that he passed that test. But at the same time, and this is most important, on occasions, God allows us to be tempted to show our weaknesses, our shortcomings, and having learned those weaknesses and shortcomings, to be more dependent upon him. And so while Satan proved to be wrong, still Job understood that he wasn't the righteous man, the upright, perfect man, that he had the opinion that he had of himself. Now that is why, at times, God lets us go through temptation. So remember, when you come to the word temptation in the Bible, it may mean something good, or it may mean something bad. And I take it that when it says in James chapter 1 that God tempteth no man, and God cannot be tempted of evil, we just read about Christ being tempted. But when it says that God tempteth no man, it means that God tempts no man the way Satan tempts man. Satan tempts man to sin. And God puts man to the test to show him that he is not going to sin, that he can be delivered from that sin. And so God never intends to tempt us that we might fail, that we might disobey God, that we might trespass. But God allows us to be put to the test to manifest the good things in us, or if to show the shortcomings, to correct those shortcomings. Let me give you an example of that. It says in John chapter 6, when there were 5,000 hungry men and there was nothing to give them to eat, the Lord Jesus went to Philip and he said, where are we going to get food for all these people? And Philip said, why, the little bit of money that we have, it's not enough to buy food for them. But it says this, Jesus said, tempting him, putting him to the test, proving him, for he himself knew what he would do. You see the importance of that. Jesus is tempting Philip, but not to sin, but to see if there is in Philip the trust to look to Jesus and say, you can feed these people. You have stilled the storm. You have healed the sick. You can feed these people. Feed these people. But instead, notice he said, 200 penny worth of bread, it's not enough that everybody take just a little bit. You see? And so Philip, though he was not faithless, you'll find out that he didn't have much faith. And he did not say, Lord Jesus, you can care for these ones. So when Jesus tempts us, it's not that we sin, but in this case, it says Jesus knew what he was going to do. Now, this same matter about bread occurred on more occasions than one. And after the Lord Jesus said 5,000, and then again he said 4,000, he said on another occasion, take heed and beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. And the disciples said, oh dear, we forgot to take bread. He's rebuking us for not taking bread. And the Lord Jesus knew that they were still failing when it came to knowing the sufficiency and ability of Jesus to supply all their needs. I think with all my density, if I'd seen Christ feed 5,000, and I'd seen Christ feed 4,000, I would think that I would have faith to believe that Christ could feed 12 apostles that followed him. Do you not think that? And yet, they had forgotten these things. And the Lord Jesus had to rebuke him. He said, have you forgotten the 5,000 and the 4,000? Why is it that you think I'm talking about the leaven of bread? And so here is a test, and we find that they failed that test. But he is desirous that when the test is given, we shall pass that test. Let me give you one other example. When Martha wanted the Lord Jesus to do something for her brother Lazarus, the Lord Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. She said, I know he shall rise again at the last day. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, if I want to, in so many words, I can raise him today. And she said, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give it you. And yet, when it came to the test of removing the stone from the tomb and raising Lazarus from the dead, Martha was afraid of the embarrassment of this loathsome corpse and what had happened to it in those 4 days. The Lord Jesus said, said I not unto thee that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And so she said, all right, Lord. And so after that test, the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. But understand that God does tempt people in the Bible. But he always tempts them to show them their shortcomings and to correct those shortcomings. He always tempts them to defy and to deny what Satan says about us. But he never does it that we might fail and sin. He does it to manifest our weaknesses and to enable us to correct those weaknesses and to trust in his Son and in the Father. So, when tests come, notice, James says, God tempteth no man. It does not mean that he does not tempt any man. It means for either. But he does tempt man for good. Now, I'm going to show you that. Turn to Genesis. It's so important. Genesis chapter 22. Because there's been another temptation in the Bible, in Genesis 3. But this is the temptation that comes directly from God. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And the word tempt is the same sense of put Abraham to the test. All right, look. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now, he takes him there, and it says in verse 10, after he is ready to sacrifice his son, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So, when he put Abraham to the test, was he tempting him to kill his son? Well, of course not. He never had any intention of allowing him to kill his son. But he put him to the test to see if he loved his son Isaac more than he loved God, who called him out of Ur, the Chaldees. And Abraham, having been put to the test, he passed that test, because God, who knows as God, it says, now I know by experience. And that is why, when you and I find ourselves in temptations, it says, Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various temptations. Why? Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. So here, it's a good thing, and we can rejoice. And if we have faith, if we pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, and believe it, then whenever any temptation comes our way, we know that we are not going to fail, but that God, who is the one who controls every temptation, was the one who allowed this temptation to come, and we are prayed, deliver us from evil, and he's going to take us out of this temptation successfully. But it takes prayer. Our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane told Peter, James, and John, watch with me. Pray that you enter not into temptation. But they did not watch with him. They went to sleep, and they did not pray that they would enter not into temptation. And they entered into temptation and failed. And the Lord said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, understand this, because it's going to help us to interpret what these words mean. Lead us not, bring us not into temptation. The temptation comes when a condition like that in the Garden of Gethsemane arises, or when David, King David, looks out and sees Bathsheba, or Samson sees Delilah, or Achan sees silver and gold and clothing in Jericho, and he wants those things. Those are temptations that come upon us. And what we are praying for is this. Oh God, you know that if I am put in the position where I can steal this silver and gold and clothing and nobody will know it, you know that I'm going to fail. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. We are praying for God to so arrange the events of our lives that when something that is greater than we are is not allowed to come upon us. And that is what God will do if from our hearts and faith we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If we are Samson and we know what's going to happen when Delilah comes, then we must pray that. And so we pray, O God, keep Delilah's out of our lives. Keep Bathsheba's out of our lives. Keep silver and gold and clothing, whatever thing that tempts us most, keep those things out of our lives and arrange circumstances. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the basis of the interpretation of what we have here. Now, I know also that whereas the word temptation can be good or bad, a temptation to do evil, or a temptation of putting to the test to prove that the goodness of God is in us. I know here the temptation is bad. You say, how can you know that? It doesn't say, but it does. Lead us not into temptation. What kind of temptation? Deliver us from evil. That is the key. This is the kind of temptation it is. The temptation, lead us not into temptation that will result in evil, but deliver us from this evil. And so here, it's the kind of temptation that Satan would bring about that caused us to fail, and also the conditions under which Satan could tempt us and we would fail. And what is the great encouragement is that God can so ordain things that the circumstances will not arise wherein we shall fail. If that is not so, why pray? Lead us not into temptation. Because it means that God knows under certain temptations we're going to fail. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I want you to see this because it will all help in the interpretation of what I'm giving you. It's not saying to God, never put me to the test. We want to have our faith tried. We want to have our faithfulness tried. But only to a certain degree. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Now listen carefully. We're talking about temptations. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, such that man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it, to endure it. Listen to it again now and think. Think of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Here is the promise, and here is a comment on that Lord's Prayer. Listen to it again. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. Christ's temptation was a superhuman temptation. No one could have stood that temptation other than Christ. God would never let such a temptation come upon you and me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Notice, he says, the temptations that come into our lives have been weighed, and he knows what we can bear. He knows what temptation we can successfully pass. And it says, God is faithful, who will not allow that temptation to come to us that is above our ability to overcome that temptation. That's a great promise from God. But, notice, will with the temptation make also a way of escape. Listen, you're praying. Deliver us from evil. This is the answer to that prayer. He will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What is the prayer? Lead us not into temptation. Lord, fulfill your promise that you will not allow a temptation to come that is greater than we are. Manifest your faithfulness and keep me, O God. So, knowing that you have this promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13, understand that if trusting this promise and praying that prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, then know that we can have victory over sin. But understand this, that even with all of these promises, unless you do pray that prayer in faith, there shall happen to you just what happened to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus said, rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. And they went back to sleep. He could have delivered them had they prayed, but they did not pray. Now, if we want to abstain from sin, and God knows that if we meet this sin head on, we cannot succeed, and we prayed, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let not a temptation come upon me greater than I am, above that I am able. And we pray that, it says, God is faithful. Therefore, understand, prayer, as Elijah prayed, Lord, do not let it rain. And God withheld rain. And Elijah prayed, God, let it rain. And God let it rain. And when we pray, lead me not into temptation, it means to keep me from those things to which I am susceptible and will pull me down. Let those things not develop. But also this is included. I told you to pray two things. And God can put a choice before you, and you have to decide concerning what choice you're going to make. It says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God says, don't you make provision for the flesh. I will deliver you from it. You stay away from it. But if we do not pray to God, then we're liable to find ourselves going after those things that our soul lusts after, and those conditions will be present, and we will fail. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says concerning a man and his wife that they are to render the duty of marriage to one another, and if they do not, It says, Satan will tempt you and you will fall into adultery. You see? And therefore, we have a responsibility as man and wife to render the duty of marriage. And we have also the responsibility to help our brother in this sense. It says, if any man be overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, that thou also be tempted. So we're praying, lead us not into temptation. Let me show you something that's beautiful. Now listen to it. This same word, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have someone being carried, being brought into a certain situation, and that situation is going to cause his ruin. We pray, bring us not into temptation. Listen carefully. There was this man that was paralyzed, and he had four friends, and these friends knew that Jesus could heal him if they could get him to him. And the word, bring us not into temptation, the same word is used. It says, they brought him to Jesus. And when they brought him to Jesus and got him to Jesus, Jesus healed the man and forgave his sins. Now, do you see how illuminating that is? We have two things. We have a person being brought to evil, the devil, and the devil destroying him. And we have a man being brought to Jesus, and Jesus healing him. But the word is the same. And we pray to God, bring me not into temptation. Here are men that bring this paralytic into such a situation that he'll be healed. And we are praying to God, so control my life, O God, that I will only be brought into situations that will be good for my soul. And this is what we're praying. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And so we have to trust the promises of God. And also it says, make no provision for the flesh. We have to do our part as well in obeying God. When the Lord Jesus says, rise and pray that you enter not into temptation, even though the promise is there, we have to lay hold on that promise by rising and praying that we enter not into temptation. But if we meet the conditions that God sets before us, it says, God is faithful. And that is the great promise. However, many times, we know that God is faithful. And this man said on one occasion, I remember now what he said over 25 years ago. The man that sold us our house, he was one who chain smoked cigarettes. And I said to him, because he's a dear man, I said, listen, do you want me to pray for you that God will break you of this habit? He said, no, no, never pray that. I don't want to be broken from this habit. And sad to say, it broke my heart. The man's lungs were so destroyed that he was on oxygen for the longest kind of time. But understand, he knew that they were bad, and yet he did not want me to pray for him that he would be cured of this. And many times, we see the sins we love, and we do not say to God, keep me from this temptation. Why? Because we're afraid that God will keep us from that temptation. But we must meet these conditions that God tells us about. This, but deliver us from evil. I want to show you something interesting. Turn to Matthew 12. The word deliver us from evil, it's the word that is translated both wickedness and evil in different parts of the Bible. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, this is the same word, whether it's translated evil or wicked. In Matthew chapter 12, at verse 35. Now listen. The good man, out of the good treasure, bringeth forth good things. And the evil man, that's the same word, deliver us from evil. The evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Alright. Here is an evil man. He has evil treasures and he brings forth evil things. The word "but deliver us from evil," it can mean this. It can mean an evil man, an evil thing, or the evil one. You realize, and I'll show you this since you're right here, look in Matthew 13, look at Matthew chapter 13. And look at verse 37. He's explaining the parable of the tares. And he answered and said, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one," the evil one, the identical word that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "deliver us from evil." And here it's translated, "the wicked one," the evil one. And I just read to you in chapter 12, the evil or wicked man. And so when we pray, "deliver us from evil," notice it says there's evil treasure, so it can be evil things, it can be evil men, it can be the evil one, and perhaps all of them are included. "Deliver us from evil," Satan the evil one, evil companions, and also evil things that cause me to depart from faithfulness to you, O my God. So, the prayer is so simple, but it's so inclusive. So, we understand that we have sinned. Why? Because I pray, "forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors." We've already confessed that we failed once, and we pray concerning the future, "I may fail again. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." It means that temptations are ahead. It means that evil men, evil things, the evil one, Satan, is before me, and I must pray to be delivered from them all. So let's remember this sixth request. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know that before we were saved, we never thought about the things that we did as being evil. But now that you've shown us more fully what is right and wrong, we think back of those things, and we know that they were evil, but we didn't know them as evil. But now we know them as evil, and we pray, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So help us, our God. We confess that we have sinned. We are debtors. You've forgiven those debts, our God. And we confess, our God, that we may sin tomorrow. But you've given us a prayer to pray. You've given us promises to trust in. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.